During our series of lessons on authority, and tonight we're teaching another, I don't know how many we've taught, maybe a dozen so far. I'm reading tonight one verse from Numbers chapter 18 and verse 1. So open your Bibles, please. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 18, one verse. And the Lord said unto Aaron, now Aaron was the high priest, and his sons were the priests. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. And thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. I want you to notice that all of the iniquity of the house of God was going to be borne by Aaron the high priest and his sons. Now turn, please, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now, did you get that? If a guy is guilty, he's going to be beaten. If he didn't know and have knowledge about what he was doing, he won't be beaten with as many stripes as those who have the most responsibility. He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. I want you to notice it said to him that as much is given. Given, a gift. Much is required. And I hope you'll follow me as I teach. Once again, every Wednesday night I'm taking the first 5 minutes or so and reviewing just the early things we learned, just the earliest things, because everything else we learn is built on the earlier things. Now, I want you to look right this way. I want you to slap yourself, wake yourself up, slap the person next to you and wake him up. That's enough. And now look right this way and listen carefully. Everybody right this way. That's enough. It's an old story. I've told it often. Dave, our son, used to wait on me in the waiting room at the office area every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. All the time he was, from the time he was 2 years old to the time he got married, he waited on me, and after he left, Cindy started doing the same thing. And the wicked man came and took her away from our home. But Dave used to wait on me. Well, Dave was just a little tyke. In fact, he was sitting in his first Sunday school class for the first time. I'm sure it must have been the beginner department, maybe the 3-year-old, but 3 or 4-year-old department. For the first time, he sat in a Sunday school class. We're driving home that morning, and I said, Doc, I always called him Doc. I said, Doc, what did you learn this morning? And he said, I learned about God. I said, wonderful, that's unusual these days in churches to learn about God. I said, what did you learn about God? And David said, Daddy, I learned that God loves me more than anybody else in the world loves me. The boy said, that's wonderful. What else did you learn about God? And David said, I learned that when I do wrong, God spanks me and sure does spank hard. I said, what else did you learn about God? And David said, I learned that after God spanks me, then he comes and hugs me and tells me he loves me and that it hurt him worse than it. Dad, are you God? And I said, no, son, I'm not God, but I hope after you've been in our home for 18, 20 years and you leave our home, I still hope you get me mixed up with him. Dave was going to get married the next week. We were driving home for the last time together. And he's an adult now and working on the church staff, was at the time. And so we're driving home, went down May Street, the little slanting street that goes between Calumet and Columbia. And both of us were choked up because it was the last time he'd ever ride home with me. And finally, Dave looked up and said, "Dad, are you God?" And I said, "Son, do you remember that many, many years ago?" He said, "Never forgot it, Dad." He said, "You told me that after all the years I stayed at home, you hoped that I'd still get you mixed up with God." And our son said to me, "Dad, I want you to know you're the nearest thing to God I've ever seen." Now, the first thought of that is he shouldn't have said that. "Dad, are you God?" Second thought, that's where it ought to be. And I'll explain why in a few minutes. I was walking down the alley here years ago, saw a little boy's, a bus kid's shoe untied. I stopped to tie the shoe, and his mother said, "Brother Howes, you don't have time to tie every boy's shoe in the church." I said, "Now, I'm not going to tie every boy's shoe in the church. I'm going to tie this boy's shoe and that shoe right there." And she said, "Well, why?" And I said, "Tell her why." He said, "Call her buddies, that's why." I said, "That's right." As I walked away, he said, "Mama, did you see God tie my shoe?" Now, first thought is, that's being a little sacrilegious. Second thought, no, it isn't either. Maxine Jeffries came to work for us years ago. Over a third of a century ago now. She had worked for Dr. John Rice for 13 years, then she came to work here, and she's been with us now about 35 years. She came time to pray one day, and Maxine bowed her head and said, "Dear Brother Hiles." Then she realized she'd made a mistake, and she said, "Oh, no, 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 dear Dr. Rice." And finally she said, "Dear Lord." I was just cussing or praying by that time, but now, at first thought, that's a bit sacrilegious. But tonight I'm going to show you where it really isn't at all. Our review is this. There is only one authority. Only one authority. I have no authority as pastor of this church. You have no authority as the husband of your wife. You have no authority as the father of your children. You have no authority as the mother of your children. You have no authority as the principal of your school. You have no authority as the president of the college. You have no authority as the teacher in the classroom. You have no authority. Only one authority, and that's God's authority. God is the only one. Mr. Clinton doesn't have any authority. If he does, he usurps it. He hasn't got authority. Only God has authority. I said, number two, we cannot see him or hear him. We cannot see God. We do not take notes here, by the way, so look right this way and keep your eyes up here. We cannot see God or hear God. Number three. Consequently, God created the office of deputies. And those deputies are the ones that are supposed to do what they can to find out for those who follow them what God would do if he were here. I have no authority in this church to do what I want to do. I only have the authority to find out what he wants and try to execute that. I have no authority as the husband of Beverly Joyce Hiles, and she'll tell you that. But I have no authority as the husband of Beverly Joyce Hiles. But my job is to find out what God wants done in our family and then convince her convince her, she's supposed to obey or submit. But it's not my authority. It's God's authority, and my job is to find out what he wants done. I said, there's only one authority, and that's God. I said, we cannot see or hear him. I said, then God created the office of deputy. So a boss in a business is simply a deputy for God, to do what God would do. A pastor of a church, father of children, mother of children, husband of a wife, teacher of a class, all of us are simply God-appointed deputies to fulfill what God would do if he were here. But since he's not visible, we cannot hear him, somebody is chosen by him and or by us to try to seek what he wants. That means that the deputy has no authority. He only represents authority. I have no authority as pastor of this church. I only represent him who is the authority and who alone has authority. Then I said, we are as deputies to execute what he wants. Now I want to say this statement. Listen carefully. That means that this is not a position. Being an authority is not, being a deputy is not a position. Being pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, is not a position. It's simply a man who's supposed to be the servant of the people and the servant of God. Going to God to find out what God wants so I can get what God wants to the people, and going to God for the people so the people can know what God wants. Same thing's true with all deputies. Now, yes, they are to obey you. As a deputy, you are to obey, but the deputy has no right to demand obedience. The deputy only has a right to find what God wants and relay the information to all the followers. Now then, here's the study for tonight. We as deputies, by the way, are you a deputy tonight? Brother Scott, you're a deputy as vice president of Hiles Anderson College. Your deputy is the husband of Cindy Scott. Your deputy is the father of Kenny and Jacqueline Scott. And you are deputy as teacher of Bible classes at Hiles Anderson College. Philippina, you're God's deputy, but you have no authority. Only to come to God on behalf of the young people to find out what God wants the young people to do. For the young the same way, and on down the line. I could go. I say it again. Now, that takes away being the big shot. That takes away the word boss. There's no such thing as a boss on this earth. God did not give anybody the title of a boss. Only deputies to represent Him and to seek what He wants done and to find out for Him what He wants, God wants the people to do, and to find out for the people what God wants them to do. And that makes me a servant. That makes the father a servant. That makes the husband a servant. That makes the boss a servant. That makes the college president a servant. That makes the teacher a servant. That makes the principal of the schools, our school, a servant. Now listen carefully to this. We've said an awful lot lately about the deputy, and that's any place of responsibility leadership. The deputy is responsible to do what God would do. Hear me carefully. Here's the lesson tonight. The deputy is likewise responsible to do what God would do in a manner that God would do it. We said nothing about that. But not only am I to represent God by doing what He would do if He were here, but I not only do that, I am to do it like He would do it if He were here. That means we're to represent Him in what is done and also in how we do it. It's a very serious matter. Now listen carefully. For you to be the father of children, the husband of a wife, the employer of employees, the pastor of a church, you are God's representative to do only what He wants to do. And that makes it a very, very serious matter if you misuse the position God's given to you. Let me illustrate. I've sent Brother Keith before to funeral services. Can you think of any particular person? Brother Ashcraft, our missionary to Monterey, Mexico, his mother passed away. And I sent Brother Keith McKinney to represent me there. Now, Brother Keith is not to go there and do what he wants to do. He's to go there and do what I would do if I were there. If he does not only what, but in a manner. He's supposed to have the same courtesies that I would have if I were there. The same demeanor that I would have if I were there. He's not there representing himself. He's not there saying, I've come to the funeral. The first thing he's supposed to say is, I'm here representing Brother Hiles and First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now, it's a very serious thing if he fails to do what I sent him to do. And likewise, it's a very serious thing if he does not do what I said do as I would do it. What does that mean? As a pastor, I'm not only to do what God would do, but I'm to do it as He would do it. As a husband, I'm supposed to be, to Beverly Joyce Hiles, not only someone to find what God wants for our family, but I am to treat her as God would treat her, as I enforce the wishes of God, as God's deputy. You, as husband, as fathers and mothers, you're not only supposed... Okay, for example, now you spare the rod and spoil the child. You're supposed to spank the child. No matter what the government says, you're supposed to spank the child. And a lot of you folks are obeying God and spanking the child, but you're not doing it like God would do it if He were here. Not only is there a certain way to execute the wishes of God, or certain things to execute in the wishes of God, but there are certain ways and manner with which we execute what God wants us to do. Follow me carefully. The Old Testament, the Jews, the Israelites, were coming to the Promised Land. They had traveled across the wilderness. They were coming toward the Promised Land. They came to the wilderness of Zin. No talking, please, over here. Hey, no talking over here. They came to the wilderness of Zin. When they got to the wilderness of Zin, they had no water to drink. So the Israelites began to complain. And they said something like this. We wish we had died back yonder when the other folks died. We wish we hadn't lived. Now, please don't leave me, because I've got something I want to teach you tonight that's very important. And the Jews began to complain. Now, that's a wicked thing to do. But they complained. Moses went to God, and God said to Moses, I want you and Aaron the high priest. Moses, sort of the, shall we say, the political leader of the people, and Aaron high priest of their religion. Moses and Aaron, God said to you, me and them, I want you to gather the people together. Now, he said, when you gather the people together, he said, don't forget that rock. Remember the rock in Horeb? Back yonder years ago, 30, 35, 40 years ago, I gave you that rock and told you to smite that rock one time. And water would come forth. Now, he said, from now on, I want you to speak to the rock. Don't smite it ever again. Just speak to it. So Moses and Aaron come to God and say to God, the people are begging for water. And God said to Moses, he said, okay, then you just gather the people together and speak to that rock. Don't smite it. Speak to it. Just speak to the rock. Moses got upset with the people. Now follow me carefully. Moses got upset with the people. And the first thing he did was bawl them out. He lost his temper. The second thing he did, he didn't speak to the rock. He smote it, not once, but twice. Now notice, Moses was God's deputy, right? Right? Alright. Moses was God's deputy. He was supposed to do what God would do if he were there. Is that true? He was supposed to execute what God wanted done. But Moses did not do what God wanted him to do. Instead of speaking to the rock, as God had said, he smote the rock twice. But that isn't all. Not only did he not do what God wanted him to do, he didn't behave in a manner that God wanted him to do. He lost his temper. Now what Moses was supposed to do was to do exactly what God would have done if he had been there, in the same manner that God would have done it. That's what Christ-likeness is all about. You're not supposed to just go around trying to be Christ-like. That's not the purpose of the Christian life. You're supposed to be doing what Jesus would do. I know people, all they do is smile and have a good disposition. And they say they're not Christ-like. Though they're doing it. They're doing nothing like Jesus said, do something. But there are two things to being Christ-like. Do what he would do. And do what he would do like he would do it. Verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That's what we're supposed to do, what he would do. Then it says, as he is, so are we in this world. We are supposed to do what he said do, and do it like he said do it. Now, Moses, hear me carefully now. Unbelievable story, really. Moses smote that rock twice. God said, do what to it? Talk to me. God said, do what to it? Speak to it. Moses had smitten it back on the years before. No need to smite it again. Speak to it. Moses smote it twice. So he did not do, next word, what? Next word, what? He did not do what God said to do. Who's on first? What's on second? He did not do what God said to do. But when he lost his temper and before the Israelites and said, oh, you rebels, then what did he do then? He did not behave as God would have behaved. I know a lot of old-fashioned hellfire and damnation fundamental preachers, of whom I am one. I know a lot of us. We do exactly what Jesus said to do. We go soul winning, we preach the Bible, we preach the gospel, but we're as mean as the devil. On the other hand, I know some preachers that don't do what God said, let the world go to hell.
Let the young people go to the devil. Don't preach against the movies. Don't preach against Hollywood. Don't preach against rock music. Don't preach against the soap operas. Don't preach against the casinos. Don't preach against the lottery. Don't preach against the sins of the day. Don't preach against it. And let the children go to the devil. They act like God would act if he were here, but don't do what God would do if he were here. I don't understand it. On one side, you got a bunch of people that are as mean as the devil. On the other side, you got a bunch of people that are as sweet as they can be, but they act like they don't do anything and don't get the job done for God. It was said of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and... Full of what? Grace and truth. Didn't say just full of truth. Said full of grace and truth. The grace, how you do it. The truth, what you do. Now, I've said so often, I have a problem there. I work on getting the truth. I get as mean as the devil. Boy, I tell you, I want to trip old ladies who walk across busy downtown streets and push old men down steep hills in wheelchairs and stick little boys and girls in the eyeballs with ice picks. I get the truth. I get mean as the devil. So I work on being sweet and kind and getting grace. Then I get the grace. I want to join the National Council of the Churches. I'm trying to say it's hard to blend the two. But, listen to me, you are not like Jesus until you act like he would act as you do what he would do. That's what it... You are his deputy. You are his representative. You are his deputy to do what he would do like he would do it. Now, Moses broke both rules. He lost his temper. He did not act as God's deputy. He did not show them how God would have acted. And then in smiting the rock twice and not speaking to it, he did not do what God would have done. So what happened? Listen carefully. God said to Moses, take Aaron upon Mount Hor. Take Eleazar, his son, with him. Don't miss this. Take Eleazar, his son, with him. When you get up on Mount Hor, take Aaron and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest and his son. When you get on Mount Hor, tell Aaron, take off the garments, the priestly garments of Aaron. Defrock him. Take off his priestly garments. You put those priestly garments on his son Eleazar. Eleazar becomes the high priest. And there on Mount Hor, I'm going to gather Aaron to his brethren. In other words, he's going to die there. Aaron died. What for? Because Moses lost his temper and smote the rock twice. Then, after that, a period of time after that, God said to Moses, it's your time now. I want you to go up on Mount Nebo. Now, on Mount Nebo, that's in the land of Moab. And I want you to look out and see the promised land. I want you to see Jerusalem. I want you to see Bethlehem. I want you to see Bethany. I want you to see the Jordan River, Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, the city of Jericho. I want you to see the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. But he said, you'll never go in it. He said, there on Mount Nebo in Moab, you are going to die. Now, sit up straight and listen. That just doesn't sound right to me. A guy gets capital punishment for losing his temper. That's the case. You'd have killed me a long time ago. And I'd have killed you first. I mean, have you ever seen me lose my temper? Oh, you're a wonderful employee. That's because you sleep most of the staff meetings. But now the truth is, how many of you, I've lost my temper. Anybody ever lose your temper? Real fire. I said real fire! All right, you've lost your stupid temper. Okay. I want you to go up on Rocky Mountains tomorrow and die. You say, just for losing my temper? That's what it was for Moses. What else did he do? All in the world he did. All he did. He took the rod and smote a rock twice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I contend that's not worthy of capital punishment. But, hear me carefully, God holds a deputy more accountable
than his followers.
The Israelites that committed worse sins than Moses and Aaron did, they're the ones that griped and complained. No water. We wish you're back in Egypt. We wish you died when the other folks died. You check the Bible, and you will find literally hundreds of people in the Bible that did a lot worse than lose their temper or smite a rock twice, and God did not punish them severely. But here's God punishing Moses. Listen to me carefully. Moses was probably the best man of all the Israelites, and he's the one didn't get to go in the Promised Land. Now hear me carefully. I do not believe in popes, church priests, and so forth. But I do believe, Brother Scott, that God would punish you more than he'd punish your students if you did the same thing. In fact, he'd punish you more if you did something less than what your students do, because you're the deputy. It's more, listen, for a policeman to break the law is more serious than for a civilian to break the law. For a member of the United States government to embezzle is more serious than for a person that works in a company to embezzle. Why? Because you embezzle from your boss, you've embezzled from one man. You embezzle from the United States government, you've embezzled from every citizen that pays taxes. Now listen to me carefully. And listen, don't you miss it. If you are a father, God is counts you a deputy, and you will be more severely punished for your mistakes and sins than if you were not a father. As pastor of this church, God would punish me more severely than he'd punish you as those supposed to follow me. I'm trying to say that here is a man, and he's a high priest, and Moses, his leader. All they did was lose their temper and smite a rock twice, and they didn't enter the Promised Land when thousands and probably a couple of million people who had done many things worse than Moses and Aaron. I'm saying, listen, you young Hiles Anderson College preacher boys, you listen to me. God expects more of you than does the folks over at Purdue Extension. Why? You are training to be his deputy in a New Testament church. When you take upon yourself that responsibility, it is an awesome responsibility, because you are representing God, and that means you are supposed to do what God would do and in the same manner that God would do it. Now, there's one little line there. We didn't read it. There's one little line there. God said to Moses, the reason I'm doing this is because, I'm quoting, you sanctified me not. What? Moses sanctifying God? Exactly. Now, let me show you something. You're God. And you know, God was bald-headed, but you're God. Okay, now I know what it was like when you had to turn their back on God because you just couldn't stand the glow of his presence. I understand that now. You guys, I'm God's deputy, and I am your leader. Now follow me carefully. I have one choice of two. I can set him apart and go to them and act like he would, or I can go to them and act like they do. I'll say this next Wednesday night. But there's some things I can't do that you can do. Not sinful things. Because I am God's deputy in this church. And so there's some things that I could not do that you can do. Now, I have one choice. Either I set God apart and say, I'm going to go with those people. And now, by the way, I know preachers that do what God wants them to do, but they're yip, yip, hooray, and hippie-like. I'm talking about somebody who goes down to the beach with bathing suit on to go soul winning. Now, they're doing what God said do in going soul winning, but they're not doing it like God would do it. They're trying to act like men instead of act like God. Well, you say, I can win more folks if I try to do it like men. No, you'll win more folks if you do it like God said do it and what God said to do. So if you go to the beach, if you're a man, put your blindfolds on. But you don't have to get drunk to win drunkards. Or put your bathing suit on to win, or your swimming suit on to win folks who are on the beach. I'm trying to say, God said, when you leave me, He said, set me apart. He meant by that, you set me apart and you go down there and act like I would act if I were there. I'm saying we got a bunch of people in America who are acting like God would act, but not doing what God would do. And we got a bunch of other people doing what God would do and not acting like God would act. But God said, I want you to get down there and do my work exactly like I do it. The works that I do shall He do also. Then He said, while you're doing the works that I would do, I want you to have the same disposition that I would have if I were there doing it. Okay. Not a preacher in America. There's not a preacher in America that skins his people more than I skin you. None. I mean, I just sometimes hang your hide up and peel it back. Pour in the salt and then sew it back up. Why don't you fire me? Don't answer that. Why don't you fire me? You know why? Because there's not a person in this room that doubts, but I love you. Not a one. Not a person in this room. Everybody, if you don't believe, folks, think I'll ask the boys and girls where the house loves them. You think I'd stand and make a fool and jump up and down all this platform? Good night. No, I love them. And you know I love you. You know why you know I love you? Because when I have done what He said to do, I've tried to give you the love of Christ as I did it. I am His deputy. I've been teaching for weeks now. It is my job to do what God would do. And that means if you're not a soul winner, you're not right with God. That's what it means. But you don't walk up. I was out soul winning with a fellow years ago. Preacher. I was preaching for him. We went out soul winning. I said, let me do the first one. He said, I want you to. I won the person to Christ. I went to the next door. A female came to the door. And she didn't have hardly anything on. Just had on a bikini. And she opened the door and he said, sister, if you go put some clothes on, come back looking like a lady, we might talk to you. She slammed the door in her face. He was doing what God said to do, but that's just half of what the deputy is supposed to do. The deputy is supposed to do it like God would do it. She took the door back to slam it. I said, hold it, ma'am, hold it. Well, you've gotten off to a bad start. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to go to heaven? And I walked in and she took a newspaper and put the newspaper, without me saying it, over her lap and covered her legs and covered the best she could her body, and I wanted to Jesus Christ. Why? Because we went soul winning. That's what He would do if He were here. And we did it like He would do it if He were here. So, as pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, I'm supposed to heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils. That's my job. But I'll tell you what, it must be etched in stone that the man that's skinning you loves the fire out of you. Let's take a father who's going to spank a child. And you're supposed to spank your child. But all of a sudden the child is wrong. You come here to me. Bend over my knee. Quack, 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 quack. Now you're doing what you're supposed to do. But you're not representing God. That child is supposed to see a reflection of God in you. So you're supposed to do what you're doing, but you're supposed to... And the Lord looked down and said to Moses, you'll not see the promised land. Because you did not do it like I said do it. You lost your temper. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a fundamentalist. Capital F, capital U, capital N, capital every how I should spell the word. I'm a fundamentalist. Old-fashioned, hell-raising, barnstorming, winter rather than shingle, pulling hellfire and damnation, fundamentalist. But I still believe you're supposed to love people. So, Cindy was home before she... was kidnapped. She did something wrong. I'd say, Puddin',
go to your room. She'd go to her room.
How long did she stay before I went up there? Till I got my cool back. Because I will not spank her while I'm angry. You spank while you're angry. You're not spanking, you're beating. And a lot of you folks that are crapping about the welfare, the simple truth is, they got a case on some of you. Not because you spank, but because you're angry while you do. And that's an attack. So, after I get my equilibrium back, my cool back, I walk up, and I sit down, and I say, Puddin', Daddy wants to talk to you. Now, this is the way I did it, and she messes up now, I'll still do it again. If her husband doesn't like it, it'll do the same thing to him. I don't like to spank him. He's so skinny, it hurts my hand. The bones cut my hand while I spank him. So I'd say, Puddin, come sit beside Daddy. And let me have you, son. Yeah, you're going to be Cindy. We'll play like you're my boy. Now, son, don't laugh now. Son, first I want to tell you why I'm going to spank you. But I want you to tell me, you know what you did wrong? You talked back to your mother and disobeyed your mother and were disrespectful. Is that right? That's right. All right, now, son, I want to tell you something. I don't want to spank you because I don't like to, but God told me to. Because I love you, I'm going to have to spank you. Now, before I spank you, I want to pray. Dear Father, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I don't want to do it. I love my son, and I don't want to do it, but I pray you'd help me to do what I'm supposed to do, and I pray you'd help me to help him to know I love him while I'm doing it. All right, son, would you bend over right here, please? Right there, come on. Hi. There he is. Now, son, you know why I spanked you. Why did I spank you? Because what did you do to your mother?
I talked back.
You talked back to your mother and disobeyed her, right? Is that true? All right. Now, I love you, and I don't want to spank you, and I want to pray for you. Dear God, bless my boy. And I pray you'd help him to live right, never talk back to his mother again, and know I love him, and I spanked him because I love him, and you told me to do it. Amen. Now, son, I want you to sit here just for a few minutes, and I'll let you know when you can leave. I want you to think about what you've done. I'll let you know when you can leave. So you just sit right there as Daddy goes about his work, and I'll go about my work, and after a few minutes, I'll say, son, you can leave your room now. Hey, by the way, I like you an awful lot. Thank you. Now, that's doing what God wants you to do, like God wants you to do it. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Listen to me carefully. We got a bunch of fundamentalists running around America doing what God said to do it, but doing it not in the manner that God would do it. I want to remind you that the same God that has wrath is a God of love. And I want to remind you he's a God of patience and a God of long-suffering. And whatever, if you're in a classroom as a teacher, you're supposed to enforce the rule to the school, but you're supposed to do it as God would do it. Father, husband, a boss, employer. Moses made two mistakes. Cost him his life. And cost Aaron his life. And cost Moses the chance to ever enter into the promised land. 600 years before, God had promised Abraham the promised land. And Moses lost out on the promise because he did two things. He was a poor representative of God. Now listen carefully. My boy was right. My boy was right. Dad, are you God? You say, you teach your boy I'm God? No, you act like you ought to act, and he'll wonder if you are. Now, you tell him that you're not, but he ought to wonder if you are. Did you see God tie my shoe? Dear Dr. Hiles, dear Dr. Rice, dear God. Now, the honest, simple truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten so wrapped up in this thing about, don't take the place of God. That's exactly what you're doing. As a leader, you are God's deputy. Brother Keith, right now,
is working on this parking lot we voted to buy over here. He has a lawyer working with him. Also, he's been working some over here on these houses we voted to buy. We've already bought the houses over here, $700,000. Now, Brother Keith goes, and he represents me. But woe be to Brother Keith if he decides he wants to bargain. Woe be to Brother Keith if he decides that he wants to offer less than I told him to offer. Brother Keith's job is to go talk to the fellow selling that and saying, this is what we offer you. It is not his job to negotiate. It is his job to do exactly what I do. And it's also his job to do it as I would do it if I were negotiating. I've been talking to a realtor about some property lately. Brother Young's been there with me. Now, Brother Young's been watching how I do it. And I promise you, I know Brother Young, if I ever send him someday to do some negotiating like that, I promise you he'll do it like Brother Howes did it. Now, if he wants to do it like Brother Howes did it, why shouldn't I want to do it like my Savior would do it? So, as your pastor, I'm supposed to do what he said do. He said preach the truth. Preach the word. Rebuke. Exhort. I'm supposed to do it. But I'm supposed to establish the fact first that I love you. We have ladies in this room who wear pants. I wish you didn't, but you do. And I skin you every time I can. But you keep coming. You know why? Because you know I love you. In spite of your stupid pants. I mean, your very attractive pants. You know I love you. Every child, listen, I was talking, I hope you don't mind me using this, but I'm going to. I had an appointment the other day with Joy Hilliard. That's the son of Randy and Mrs. Erickson. What? Well, she looked like a boy. She had pants on when she came in. No, that's the daughter. I'm sorry. Look, that's the first mistake I've made. You have bragged on me one time tonight to make one mistake. Jesus wouldn't do that. You're not doing like he would do. She's the daughter. And she said, when my mother married Randy Erickson, I hated him. She said, I did wrong. He just turned me over and spanked me half to death. And then she said, he's probably the greatest guy I know now. You know why? Because that same heart that caused him to spank that girl did it because he was obedient to God. By the way, why do you spank your children? Because you're mad? That's not it. You do it because you're obedient to God to do it like God would do it. Do what he would do like he would do it. Now listen carefully. A lot of our fellowship... My daughter's rebellious. My son's rebellious. Now, you children, don't take advantage of this, and don't you're supposed to obey even if your mom and dad have not done it properly. But a lot of our problems are caused because our young people have not had it established that mom and dad love the fire out of me. I go to Howells Anderson College. Man, I may start throwing stuff. But every student out there knows that I'm their daddy away from home. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm as fundamental as a guy can be. I don't have one Southern Baptist drop of blood in my veins, not one American Baptist drop of blood, not one National Council drop of blood, not one NIV drop of blood in me. I'm as old-fashioned as I can be, but I want to tell you, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And a lot of preachers get voted out in their churches. I got voted out because I took a stand. No, you got voted out because you were dumb. If you had fallen in love with your people and convinced them that you loved them, and when you wail the fire out of them some Sunday morning, they'd say, that guy, I'll close with this, and then I'll close with something else. I'll never forget that day that Elmer Towns came to our church years ago. That time he was a writer for the Christian Life magazine.
He'd heard about our church and decided to come to our church. He couldn't find it. He stopped out here on Sibley Street over in Calumet City and said, at the service station, said, "You know where First Baptist Church Hammond is?" Phil said, "Yeah." I said, "You go." "No," he said, "you, hey, what you do?" He said, "You just stay right here. In a few minutes, an old blue bus will come by here. Follow it. It's going to First Baptist." Elmer Town said, "What if it's hard to come by?" He said, "Mister, there's not a 5-minute period between 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Sunday. Old blue bus doesn't come by here." Elmer Towns walked in, sat back in the back. And that morning, Tom Bennett, one of the best men we'd have in this church. Tom's close to my age, I imagine. And Tom Bennett was an usher. And right back in the back, Tom let some folks in while I was preaching, and he wasn't supposed to do it. And I said, "I didn't know who it was. I just saw the usher back there. Didn't know it was Tom." I said, "Usher, usher, you know better than that. Nobody's supposed to come in while I'm preaching. Keep the folks out in the hallway while I'm preaching." Elmer Towns walked up to Tom Bennett after the service and said, "When are you going to leave the church?" And Tom said, "What?" "Well," he said, "after the preacher embarrassed you in front of all those people, you're not going to stay in the church now, are you?" And Tom Bennett didn't know who he was. As Elmer Towns told me, Tom Bennett took his hand and finger and punched Elmer Towns' chest and said, "Mister, I don't know who you are, but I'm not leaving this church to go anywhere." He said, "If that man up there loved you like he loves me, he could say anything he wants to and get by with it." That's what this is talking about right here. There's only one authority, and that's God. And God cannot be seen or heard, so he has chosen deputies like a pastor, father, husband, teacher, president, principal, Sunday school teacher, as his deputies to find out what he would do and how he would do it. And then if you find somebody that transgresses either law, it's a pretty serious thing. I'll close with this. You better be careful if you have a place of responsibility. And you young preacher boys, if you don't have a heart full of love, people get out of you if you'd be a plumber or electrician. You're not a fundamentalist or a right with God just because you obey. Let me ask you a question. You say to your son, "Son, take the garbage out." "Okay, I will. I'm sick and tired of it. Why don't you let my sister do it? I have to do all the work around here." "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." You please you? Doesn't please God either. It only pleases God when somebody reflects him and reflects what he would do on earth if he were here and how he would do it if he were here to do it. Shall we stand, please?